Good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, Tom. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, and I'm ready for the celebration in Selma. I will be joining you tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, in Selma.
Well, it's going to be a magnificent celebration, and I'm really looking forward not just to being there myself, but to having a chance to take Michelle and the girls down there. You know, Malia and Sasha haven't been down there, and for them to be able to see this place where, you know, at a crossroads in our history, the kind of America that we all believe in was championed and ultimately vindicated. That's a powerful thing.
How great is that? That is powerful.
How old are you? This was 50 years ago.
Yeah, I was 3 when this happened.
So when did you find out about Selma, and when did you realize its significance to our people?
Well, I tell you, it was really my mother when I was pretty young, 6, 7, 8. You know, she would give me sort of children's books about the civil rights movement, or she'd play Mahalia Jackson songs and just give me that sense of this great inheritance that we had. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what, you know, I want to communicate to my girls, but also to the country, is, you know, this was a quintessentially American moment. Mm-hmm. You know, America at its best is about its capacity for change, and not just denying problems, but taking them head on. And America at its best is also about ordinary people, citizens, we the people, making change. And there are very few examples in American history or human history where that basic notion of, you know, maids and Pullman porters and you know, young white priests traveling from Massachusetts and rabbis and just, you know, people without high office or great wealth,
right,
just coming together and saying, we're going to stand up for what's true and what's right. And then to see the most powerful nation on earth change because of that. You know, that is, you know, that's the thing that I think I want everybody to understand, because so often, you know, during Black History Month, our kids are watching, you know, Dr. King, the steps to the Lincoln Memorial, and giving the I Have a Dream speech, and it starts seeming very far away and very distant. And the great thing about, I think, the celebration tomorrow is for people to say, first of all, this was just yesterday, basically. It wasn't, you know, way back in the past. This just happened. And the people who were there are still around.
Yeah.
And you can talk to them. And they'll tell you they were afraid. And they'll tell you, you know, that, you know, what it took for them to take a day off work or to, you know, take the risk that they might get hurt.
Or not to be able to go to work.
Or not to be able to go to work. And then to still be able to do that anyway. You know, that's what's inspiring, because what that means is everybody can do it.
You know, Mr. President, we as a people, we don't talk about Selma enough.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people
just teenagers
and never heard this story. Yeah. And this goes back to even back then. I'm from Tuskegee.
Mm-hmm.
On the last segment of the Selma to Montgomery March, I was in Montgomery, which is only 40 miles away, at the St. Jude celebration where all the entertainers perform. And we had buses. Our parents didn't go because our parents worked.
Right.
Our parents worked for the government.
Right.
And we didn't have, all we had was black radio. We didn't have social media.
Right. Right.
We didn't have any of that to tell the story.
Right.
And our parents really didn't talk about it. I knew what was happening, but I didn't know the impact of what was going on till long after I left Tuskegee.
No, I think you're exactly right, and this part of our history just has to be preserved, and that's why you know, we had a screening here of Selma, and we had Oprah and the whole cast and the director and producers.
Was Congressman Lewis there?
And John was here. And I tell you guys, you know, one of the most moving things was after the screening, I brought them all over to the Oval Office.
Mm-hmm.
And John was standing next to the young man who had played him
wow.
in the movie.
Mm.
And I've got a framed program of the original March on Washington. And John Lewis is the only person on that speaking program who's still alive.
Mm.
When you and the First Lady explained Selma to your daughters, what was their reaction?
Well, you know, I think Malia and Sasha, what they understand is that people made great sacrifices so that life's a lot easier for them. And I think they appreciate that partly because, you know, Michelle and I have emphasized that since they were young, and partly because, you know, they got a grandma who's still living in the house who,
mm-hmm.
you know, remembers what it was like living on the south side of Chicago and in a segregated setting and a basically segregated school. And so they've heard the stories. But I think that part of what, and this goes back to something I said earlier, part of what I want Malia and Sasha to understand is that this is an unfinished project. You know, we saw the
mm-hmm.
Ferguson report this week.
Mm-hmm.
I had my task force come in that I had assigned to provide us recommendations for action in the wake of Ferguson and New York. And there is, you know, work to be done right now. And I say to my daughters the same thing I say to the young people who work for me, and that is it is a glorious task that we are given to continually try to improve this great country of ours. And we shouldn't shy away from that work, and we shouldn't be complacent about it. You know, and everybody's got to find their own way to do it. But
how would you like to see your girls carry that you passing that charge to them? How would you like to see them complete that?
Well, you know, I think that, look, everybody's got a way to give back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am very doubtful that they will want to run for public office, you know, partly because they've been listening to their mother. But I want them to be engaged and involved, right? And so if they want to do it through business, then I want them to have a business that is providing employment and opportunity for people who might not otherwise get it. If they want to do it through the arts, then I want their art to be informed by the great social issues of the day so that they're illuminating that for other people and telling stories that need to be told.
I understand.
You know, it's I want them to raise kids who are responsible and conscious.
Yep. Yep.
Because that's part of the work that has to be done.
And how I've raised my sons.
Yeah, and they take their work seriously, and they take voting seriously, and they take community involvement seriously. And you know, the great thing about Selma is it celebrates not just, you know, the famous people, but it celebrates all those folks who don't have a name on a plaque or a statue.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody understands that, you know what, it wasn't just Dr. King making a great speech, although, you know, I think he is an icon for the ages. It wasn't just John Lewis, although I don't know a more courageous or sweet man than him.
Isn't that the truth?
But it was also just people, that, you know, who went back to their lives after it was done.
Hmm.
That's going to be a powerful moment to have you there and the former presidents and your families and just to see that moment there on the bridge. That's really powerful.
Yeah.
Well, Sybil and I and my family will be there.
Well, I look forward to seeing you guys down there, and I hope that everybody who's listening not only has a chance to maybe see the coverage, but make that visit yourself
Absolutely.
At some point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it's worth the trip.
It's a
sacred place.
Thank you so much for
Thank
your
you,
time.
Mr. President.
Appreciate you guys.
We'll
All right,
tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Okay, bye-bye.